Let's open our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. Down to verse 8, please. And Israel, this is Jacob, whose name was changed, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Jacob, or Israel, finally entered into the lesson that God intended to teach at the time of his birth. You might remember the story back in Genesis chapter 25. Rebekah was barren, and Isaac prayed to the Lord. He entreated the Lord on behalf of his wife Rebekah that she have a son. And so God did bless her, and instead of a son, two sons were born, twins were born. And God, in his sovereignty, saw to it that Esau was born first, and then Jacob. You might remember, there was that time when Isaac was blind. That's back in Genesis chapter 27. His eyes were dim that he could not see. You know the story. How that Isaac knew that his time of death was near. And so he said to Esau the hunter, I don't know just when I'm going to die. Of course, none of us know that, but we take the wording to mean that it could be at any time here now. And he said, son, I want you to go to the field and get me some venison, some deer meat, and fix me a portion before I die. And so while Esau was gone, the mother said to Jacob, I want you to pretend to be Esau, and I want you to go in to your father and get the blessing of the firstborn. He wondered how he could do that. Surely he knows the difference. Even though he cannot see, he knows the difference between Esau and myself. Esau is a hairy man. I'm a plain and smooth man. But his mother said, we'll take care of that. She fixed some goat meat and served it as deer meat, which makes me think that maybe in addition to poor eyesight or blindness, he also had difficulty in smelling. I don't know. But you know the story, how that the skin of the animal was put on the back of Jacob's neck and on the back of his hands, and Isaac went according to his feelings. We cannot go according to our feelings. And Jacob received the blessing of the firstborn. You might say, well, exactly what does that mean? Well, it meant that the blessing of the firstborn, when the father who was bestowing this blessing would put his right hand upon the head of the firstborn and bestow upon him this special blessing, which indicated that this firstborn would be in the position of priority, of dignity, of supremacy. It meant that he would be endowed with special privileges, with power, and with preeminence. He would receive a larger portion of the inheritance, a double portion, mind you. And before knowing that the Messiah would come through Judah, one of Jacob's sons, or Israel's sons. Now, we're going back before that now. So there was the hope with each family, quite possibly, that this promised Messiah would come through us. No, we later learn he will come from the tribe of Judah. But before that, there was that thought that perhaps the Messiah would come through this line. And then, too, in addition to all of these privileges and responsibilities bestowed upon the firstborn in the blessing of the firstborn, it meant, too, a family priesthood. Because before the law was given, it seems from the evidence of Scripture that the head of every household functioned as a priest. And so Jacob stole the firstborn blessing. And when Esau came in later and wanted to receive that blessing of the firstborn before his father died, he learned that it had already been given to the younger, to Jacob. and he wept. Going back to Genesis chapter 25, and maybe we should look at that. I'm going to have you turn there. Because this is a lesson. I trust everyone in this auditorium will get a grasp of what I am sharing with you from the Word of God. It is so important. Genesis chapter 25. Pick up at verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, this is Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, from thy innermost being, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and note this, the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. I want you to fix that into your computer. The elder shall serve the younger. So when Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, he knew that Joseph, though he was blind like his father before him, he could not see physically, but he had 20/20 vision spiritually. He knew that Joseph would put Manasseh in his left hand and bring him to Jacob or Israel's right hand for the blessing. And he knew he would take Ephraim in his right hand and bring him to Israel's left hand. He knew that. Because the firstborn was to get the blessing. And when it came time to bestow this blessing, he switched hands. And Joseph said, not so, my father, not so. Manasseh is the firstborn. He said, I know it, my son. I know it. But he guided his hands wittingly. That would convey to us, I believe, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He did that. And that blessing was bestowed upon the younger rather than the older. And I believe Jacob or Israel entered into that lesson which God intended to teach when he was born, that the elder shall serve the younger. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, this has a definite, a deep spiritual meaning, and we find it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, this is the basis for the teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's pick up at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, and note what we're reading now, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Now, we are reading about Adam, the first man, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of as the second man in relation to the first man, Adam. Why this terminology? Why Adam, the first man, and Christ, the second man, the Lord from glory? Because there are other men to follow. But Adam is spoken of as the first Adam, and Christ is spoken of as the last Adam, because there are no more spiritual heads, there are no more federal heads or spiritual heads to follow. We have two men. They both head columns, as it were. One is the natural, the other is the spiritual. This is the reason the Bible speaks such terminology that either you are in Adam, unsaved, or you're in Christ, saved. So the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of as the last Adam or the second man. Let's read on. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. The spiritual didn't come first. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So which would you rather have, the first man or the second man? Well, you say the second man. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, or the last Adam, is the Lord from heaven. He's the spiritual. And so God said, the elder shall serve the younger. And so Jacob finally entered into the lesson which God intended to teach when he was born, the elder shall serve the younger. It was not just a question of which boy will have the priority over the other. There was a spiritual truth involved. And of course, God was well aware of that truth, and Jacob, representing the spiritual man being born second, Jacob, representing the spiritual man, had to learn this lesson. You know, we think of other pairs in Scripture that speak to us of the old nature and the new nature. Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Israel, and Esau and Jacob. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, when Jacob was born, God intended to teach at least two lessons. God intended to teach that for one to enter into the things of God, to enjoy the things of God, to be a possessor of the rich spiritual blessings of God, that he, she must be born again. You know, when God brought that judgment on Israel, it was the death of whom? The firstborn. The firstborn. This is the reason we need to be born again. Recently, I was in Florida for a conference at Park of the Palms at Keystone Heights. Louise was with me. When we were heading back home, going through Jacksonville, I believe, or around Jacksonville, I said, Louise, I want you to see the bumper sticker on that vehicle in front of us. And the bumper sticker said, I was born right the first time. I said to Louise, if whoever that person is, if they only knew, if they only knew, they need to be born again. Because the first birth is condemned. So, one truth that God intended to teach when Jacob was born was this matter of the new birth. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, the first man, if you please, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Romans 8, 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ephesians 2 and 3, in part. fulfilling, speaking of the first man now, the natural man, the unsaved person, the firstborn, if you please, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Now, the unconverted, the unsaved, may be gifted, they may be cultured, they may be well educated, maybe even religious, but they cannot please God in that condition. They need to be born again. I sometimes illustrate it this way. Suppose you had a radio with an AM and a FM receiver. But the FM part of the radio is broken. And all you can get is the AM station. Or let's put it this way. The earthly broadcast or the heavenly broadcast. But all you can get is the AM part of the receiver. That of the world. That's all you can get. It's not until you're born again that you're able to get the heavenly side of the receiver, the FM part. You see, when a person is saved, that person is set apart. The Bible uses the word sanctified. And that basically means to be set apart as being God's purchased property, set apart for God's use. When a person is saved, that person is sanctified. That person is set aside, God's purchased possession, and that person is made holy so God can enjoy that person. And at the same time, that person, as is the case with every believer, that person becomes a possessor of God's divine nature so that that person can enjoy God. And we have been speaking about this blessed fellowship or communion with God. He makes us holy so that He can enjoy us, and He gives us His own divine nature so we can enjoy Him. Once again, mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will, in fellowship with God. But now listen, John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 3, but that which is born of God, that is the second man, if you please, that which is born of God doth not commit any sin. That divine nature within us believers cannot commit sin. But we still have the old sinful nature, the firstborn, if you please. We still have the old sinful nature which cannot cease from sinning. Oh my, this is the conflict, isn't it? This is the conflict indeed. So much so that we read in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. This word lusteth, well, we think of it as not a good word, lusteth. I believe it's in Luke chapter 22, is it, where the Lord Jesus said, it is with desire, a burning longing. It is with desire that I have the Passover with you. Same word. The flesh has that burning desire to have its way over the spirit. And the spirit has that desire to have his way over the flesh. This is where the trouble comes in, doesn't it? We well know that. Oh my, we look back to that time when we trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, it's so wonderful to know the Lord and to walk in fellowship with Him. And I want my life to count for the Lord from here on. And it wasn't long before we realized that there is a real conflict, that we're on a battlefield. Satan tempts us to evil. The Lord tests us for good. Is it in? Let me see now. Is it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 17, where we read, "The Lord's fan is in His hand. He winnows." And one thing about winnowing is you drive away the chaff and you retain the good. The Lord said to Peter, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The Lord has a fan. Satan has a sieve. The Lord wants to retain the good. Satan wants to bring out the bad. And so we learn that there is a conflict. The Christian life is a conflict. Now, is it going to be the first me, or is it going to be the newborn? The elder shall serve the younger. All that I am as the firstborn, whatever natural talents I might have, whatever my abilities, they're to serve Christ. The elder shall serve the younger. So God intended to teach this truth of the new birth. And secondly, He intended to teach that the new life has to take priority over the old life. And as I said, for Jacob to represent the spiritual man, which he did, he had to learn these truths within himself. Jacob, Jacob. Now, I told you somewhere along the line that my name is James. Brother James, don't want to hurt your feelings, okay? I'm James too. That's the Greek equivalent to Jacob, Jacob, which I don't really believe is a compliment to either one of us. It means deceiver, schemer, supplanter, always trying to get the best of the other fellow. That was Jacob. You remember when and it seems that it was a physical appearance of the Lord Himself in Genesis 32 that wrestled with Jacob. Because he later said, "I've seen God face to face." But we'll say the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob, and he said, "What is your name?" Didn't he know his name? Yes. But he wanted him to confess it. "What is your name?" "Oh, Lord, my name is Deceiver. My name is supplanter. My name is schemer. Always trying to do it my way. My way." That's what he wanted him to say. He confessed it. "All right," he said, "I'm going to change your name. Israel." And now he's a prince, if you please, with God. Israel. But he had to learn these truths within himself. Now, Esau didn't have to learn anything. He was the firstborn. He was the natural. And he represented the unsaved person. Esau, hairy. He was red, Edom. And it was from him the Edomites came to be. But Esau was a man among men. He was full of manly pursuits and interests and occupations. Like David, Esau could and possibly did tackle the wildest animals barehanded. He was a proverb of courage, endurance, and success in the chase. He could run as a deer. His ear was always alert, but not to the voice of God. His hand was always full of skill, strength, and success. He had an eye like an eagle, but not for spiritual things. If we were reading of Esau in connection with Spanish Wells, we perhaps would think of him this way. Listen, he's a man of the seas. If there's anyone at Spanish Wells who can handle the roughest situation out there on the high seas in a storm, it's Esau. If there is anyone who can go out there and go to all of his traps and bring in the best and biggest haul, it's Esau. He was the pride of the encampment, coming home at night with his game and stories to tell to young and old. He was a man among men, but the book of Hebrews tells us he was a profane man. What does that mean? Let me read you what Thomas Griffith said. He said this word profane sums up his character. This word profane comes from profanus, that is outside the temple. Inside the temple was holy, you see, outside was unholy. So profanus or profane referred to that section which was unholy. Gradually the word came to mean that which was purely earthly and common as opposed to sacred, consecrated, and dedicated to God. Now that's the way Esau was. He lived for himself. When it was time for Bible reading, oh, it might seem as if he were paying attention, but he was thinking of being out there in the woods. He was thinking of his pursuits. Just appeasing his father, his mother, to whatever extent. No, he wasn't interested in spiritual things. When it came time to pray, maybe he bowed his head. But his heart was not in it. He cared nothing for spiritual things, no thought of God. He was a man who was governed by sight, not by faith. So he didn't have any lessons to learn. Jacob did because he pictured the spiritual man. He saw the natural or the unsaved man. And for Jacob to represent the spiritual man, he had to learn within himself. Now listen to what I'm saying. He knew that there was that side of him which was the firstborn, Jacob. But there was that new side of him, the younger, which was spiritual, Israel. And he had to learn within himself that the elder shall serve the younger. Esau, having just one nature, didn't have anything to learn. He just lived for himself. He did what he pleased. Jacob had to learn within himself he could not do as he pleased. He was made to realize that there is an honor and glory of God that's involved. There is something so much higher than my own personal satisfaction involved here. I have to live for God. My body is to be used as an instrument of righteousness. So much more involved here. And God ordained that Esau was born first because he would picture the natural or the unsaved person, and Jacob would be born next to picture the spiritual person. And so, here is Israel, blind. He knew the firstborn would be at his right hand for that special blessing, and the younger would be at his left hand. But no, the elder shall serve the younger. And he switched his hands, knowing exactly what he was doing. Young people, older people, there's so much at stake here. There's so much at stake. We are to live for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who was buried and raised from the dead, and who now lives for us in the glory. The elder shall serve the younger. So Jacob finally entered into the truth which God intended to teach at the time of his birth. What about us? Oh my, there are so many interests out there in the world, isn't it? So many things that would please us, that is the flesh, things of the world. Oh, but there's something far better than that. And that is living for Christ, being the spiritual person that God wants us to be. And may it be the prayer with each one of us that God will have his way with us. Join with me singing a cappella. I think you know it. It's not in the book. I didn't see it, but you know it. Join with me in singing just now.